This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition of Reinvention Radio. I am your host, Steve Ulscher, along with the beautiful Mary Goulet. What's up, Mary Goulet? Yes.
I don't even know after that last show.
I know, right? That was a great show, though.
It was a great show.
You got a lot of tips. You got some very specific things that you have homework to do now. And you can see how that stuff would really relate to your clientele, right?
Yes. So now I'm going to go back to my country club and golf.
Exactly. So if you were, if you're not listening live and you are listening on the podcast, what we're talking about would be the last episode, which was Reinventing Brand Marketing with Kelly O'Neill. That was really, really interesting. Some really good stuff there. And Rich O'Tay's in the house as well, holding down Periscope and all the other live stuff that we do here. So welcome to the world of Periscope. And for those folks that have been subscribing, rating, and reviewing Reinvention Radio on iTunes or on Stitcher, thank you very much for that. And don't forget, if you have any comments about a past show, or if you want to ask a question of any one of us, you can call us at 1-844 MRBOLD1. That's 1-844-MR-BOLD1, and you can leave us a message on the Reinvention Radio line there. Now, let's bring. I actually want to bring Alex on right now because we got a hell of a show going on here, and a very, very special guest, and someone who is near and dear to my heart because we actually just formed a partnership, which will be pretty interesting.
Awesome.
We'll talk about that a little bit. So, Alex, are you there, my man?
I'm here, and we're still both breathing, and we love each other still, so let's keep going.
Yes, we are both still breathing, we still love each other, and all is good in the world. All right, so, by the way, did you know what yesterday was, October 21st? Did you follow, Rich, you know what yesterday was, right, other than being
yes.
October 21st?
Back to the future.
Right? I know, did you follow any of that? Like, did you see, Alex, you saw some of that stuff, right, all the predictions they did 30 years ago, you saw that?
Well, here's what I did. I was going to have... I had been with my kids, and we went in, and we were very disappointed in the final strike thrown at one of the Cubs batters. And that prediction wasn't there, but they almost made it, right? So very, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, in the scheme of things, that is a lot closer than they have been in 30 years. So
it was amazing.
Man,
amazing.
It's a pretty darn close prediction, if you will. So, but you look at some of the other things that they predicted. Pretty darn accurate in a lot of ways.
911 thing?
The 911 thing. What was that? Tell me.
There was something, well, I'm not going to be able to tell you very well because I was just following it on the news. Something about Twin Peaks, and it all related to the Twin Towers.
They predicted some sort of devastating act of violence. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So Google that.
Yikes. All right, so here's where it gets really interesting. So they talked to, there was a key writer on this, and basically he's the guy who predicted all this fun stuff 30 years ago. They asked him for what's going to happen in the next 30 years. Any guesses in terms of, like, what are some of the key things that you think, well, what do you think, let's picture things, it's 2045. What sort of things do you think will be reality? And we'll just kind of run it around the horn here. And Alex, let me start with you. What's one thing that you think will be in reality in 2045?
There's no question in my mind. 2D interviews, two-dimensional interviews like this one will become 3D hologram. So you'll be seeing Steve and me in your office, in your home, hopefully in whatever room you're at, as long as it's appropriate. And the interview happens that way versus just listening to it or watching it.
Yeah, interesting. Rich,
that's scary.
Yeah, it is very scary, but it's reality. All right, Rich, what do you think? Give me one thing for 2045.
Private people will be in outer space.
Private
citizens.
So like people
citizens.
Will be living like on, you're talking like on spaceships, or you're talking like living on Mars or all of the above?
No, it'll just be like a trip. We went to the moon or something like that.
Went to the moon. It'll be almost as commonplace as just taking a flight like from LA to New York, something like that.
Yep.
Interesting. All right. And what do you think, Mary?
I think flying cars. Like the Jetsons.
You know what? Actually, there are there's a beautiful thing about what's that thing called? It's the internet, right? So there's this thing called the internet, and so like literally every now and again, the internet features some pretty interesting things. One of the things that I saw, they have a flying car. They already have these things.
Okay, so like, then we need to create a highway system in the air.
How do you do that? Because that's, you know what, you thought it was...
watch a couple of Jetson episodes.
You thought L.A. traffic was bad? You thought San Diego traffic was bad? These guys are fucking hitting each other in cars. Can you imagine? And, like, you just go, ooh, that kind of hurt, and you go to the side of the road, and then, like, you're
bumper
like, okay, let's...
Bumper cars in the sky.
Is, right, can you imagine? These things are going to fly out, and what's going to end up happening is there's going to be, what do they call that, collateral damage. Right, it's collateral damage. So it's going to be these idiots who are going to be like flying in their little cars up ahead, you know, up above all of us. They're going to crash, and then they're going to fall out of their cars, and they're going to land on one of us. That's
okay,
what's going
to
happen.
Let's rewind that and take that one back. What is your prediction?
So my prediction for 2045 is we are no longer going to have real food. So I don't think we're going to have any real food at all. I think it's all going to be just like this fake
plasticky,
like fake, like whatever you want, like just throw in a 3D printer. Like I feel like some lasagna. So like literally you're just gonna say lasagna, this 3D printer is gonna kick out some lasagna.
That's not true.
It's totally
we have
true
community
yeah, that's
what
we'll be
everywhere.
Taking on the trip to the moon.
Exactly, it'll be like that
petrified food,
that petrified or something like that. Because when you think about this whole 3D technology, right, it's scary. They can build houses in like 20 minutes. Have you seen some of this? It's nuts. It's like it's impossible to really think about what a 3D printer is because we think about like these little things that kind of sit on a desk, right? It's like this little thing that sits on a desk. It throws some ink on a paper. It's like, okay, that's what we all think of as a printer. They have these huge things that like literally can print out like walls of a house. And then print out, like, all of the things that go inside of the house. And it's nuts. In China...
So, like, a little model home.
Basically, yeah. In China, they're using it right now. And it's scary. But, you know, again, maybe I'm wrong about the food thing. Because, ultimately, I think we still have to feed ourselves. But
yeah, gardens.
Here's what's going to happen, though. No one's going to be working. None of us are going to be working. We're just going to be sitting there just shooting the shit and just, you know, just kind of hanging out. Because the robots and everything else are going to take care of it all for us. You're just going to say, like, I feel like an ice cream. And
where did you come up with all this stuff?
I'm telling
just
you, it's going to...
Because of yesterday?
Not only because of yesterday, but I'm seeing it. Like, the writing is on the wall. Like, you can't... You know where the main jobs are going to be? The main jobs are going to be the people who repair robots. That's, like, going to be the only job you can be hired for, is the people who repair robots. Those are going to be the people who are in demand. That's what I think.
Wow. They're not going to have robots making
mechanical
prepared.
Engineers and
yeah. What do you think, Alex? I mean,
was that a tangent, Alex, or what?
No, Alex understands. He knows where I'm going with this.
I think the money system that we're in right now is going to implode and change because of debt is no longer going to be a function of money. So we're going to go to a different system of trade, not even barter, but a completely different system. And the most important thing is I think we'll be less than 100 million people who are going to bed hungry at night versus 2 billion people. So I think that'll be a big shift going in the opposite direction than where we're at. I happen to know about 3D printing. If you want to look at what's possible, look at the computer industry in the 1960s and the building that had to house that and look at the processing power we have right now, which is microscopic at the nano level. So just look at just in you know, the 50 years, what's possible. Information technology is algorithmically expanding in power. So it's very hard to even understand if you really study it. I mean, what Steve is saying is you know, in my opinion, spot on. I haven't thought about these things, but, you know, very, very important. And I think it'd be interesting to see what happens to the family nucleus, you know, and to the institution of marriage. That'd be interesting to see. But I think that, you know, poverty and starvation and getting sweet water, drinkable water, literacy, I think those will be impacted going negative. And, you know, Generation Y will be the baby boomers that we have today. So, you know, I'm counting on my son. Let's see what happens.
Right. And frankly, you're not even going to have to know Jack, right? Because they have these things now. And like literally, this is fact. This is factual where they have like these nano sort of little, I mean, like the smallest thing that you could ever imagine can hold, like Alex was saying, like the just a massive amount of information. And like literally all of your thoughts are going to go into the cloud. Like they're going to implant this thing. Your thoughts are going to go into the cloud. So like any memory you ever had, you will be able to recall on a moment's notice. Remember in The Matrix when like they downloaded that whole kung fu thing and like all of a sudden Keanu was like this kung fu master? Same thing, man. I'm telling you, like if you want to be like you know, Wolfgang Puck, right? And you want to create like this phenomenal meal, you'll literally be able to just download the shit
tap
into your
his
brain
wow.
and become like him. It's nuts.
It'd be cool if you could record your
dreams.
Well,
here's the thing.
Right?
Yeah.
The thing is that the Google right now is the subconscious of humanity currently. I mean, but you got to type it in, right? So the thoughts that we are proud of, the thoughts that we are not proud of, I mean, you can't hide it if you type it into Google.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine if you didn't have to type it. Imagine if you think it, and now that's being recorded. That's certainly not doable. You know, that's not out of control crazy. I think it's very doable in our lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you want to join in on the conversation, the number here is 866-977-2346. And of course, you know, we are digressing a wee little bit off of Alex's, well, shall we say, area of main expertise, which, of course, is internet marketing. And if you're not familiar with Alex Mondozian, then where the hell have you been? Because this guy is an absolute icon, an absolute legend in the internet marketing space. And, of course, in the business world in general. So we're going to have a nice opportunity here to have Alex answer your questions. Again, that's 866-977-2346. And you will hit number one. And, Alex, for those who aren't familiar with your website, what's the best website for folks to find you on right now on the break?
Easy to remember, marketingonline.com.
Yeah, absolutely. So go check out marketingonline.com. While you're on the break, you can learn more about Alex. You can get your questions ready. Again, dial in. We will be waiting for you. We'll be asking all about the future of the internet, the future of business, and all sorts of interesting things around the future in general. So very much looking forward to our conversation here with Alex Mondozian after the break on Reimagine Radio.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What?, Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio with Rich Otey's in the house today. We didn't even properly introduce you earlier. I know we always...
He
was periscoping. He was a little bit busy, but Rich Otey's in the house, and I see White Wade picking up his head there in the little production room, and we got to get White Wade in here again. Man, I miss that guy. All right, we'll get him back in hopefully in the next segment. He looks like he's really busy right now. We don't want to bother him. Exactly. All right, so for those of you who are just joining us, we are talking to Alex Mondozian, and I got to tell you, when you think about sort of the, if you will, the internet marketing world and the whole internet business and that whole online space, one of the names that you think of course, is Alex, because he's been in this game for quite a long time. Now, Alex, let's talk about how you actually got started. What kind of turns you onto the online space to begin with?
Well, it's 1992, and I'm part of the media agency that is selling Thighmaster with Suzanne Summers. If I can date myself going back to the early 90s, mm-hmm. it's just off the shelf. We're selling about 6 bucks each, and a billion sold on superstations and cable TV, et cetera. I got this idea that maybe we could go to QVC or Home Shopping Network mm-hmm. and make that work. So we took something that was a proven winner, which was on transient electronic media, which is, you know, back then we had channel changers, right? We called it Scanic Panic when we couldn't find the remote control. You know, no TiVo, no DVRs, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you had 15 seconds to capture the heart of the guy who had the channel changer, which we did with Suzanne Summers, and then you had 45 seconds to capture the wallet of the gal who runs the household and has the wallet share in the house. That was the mindset. So we took that to QVC, which is a destination station, which is a station where people go for occupational therapy and just watch, like my mom. And, you know, for 15 minutes, you can sell lots and lots of product. So what I figured out back then, it was if something sells on spot television, on multiple stations, that's hard selling. Easier selling is take it to QVC, and that's a proven winner. If that works, then take it to print. If that works, then take it to retail. And As Seen on TV, which was made famous by Ron Popeil, okay, I was involved in that whole campaign. Well, fast forward, 1995, which is 2 years after you were involved, and I'm consulting One Shopping Cart and Rob Bell, who was one of the original owners of that company. Mm-hmm. And since then, he sold it. I helped him. I pushed him through the process of selling it. Eight or nine figures, I don't remember. Eight figures, I believe. And so what I learned in the internet marketing space is you get instant feedback. So it's not, hey, QVC, say something, you get a rush of orders. They say something else, you get a rush of orders. Then you go and change the TV spot because you got instant clarification on what works, what doesn't work. This is even more instant. You get, did you say something in the subject line? Did it open? Did you say something right before the link to get the click? And so I love the testing and tracking element. And my favorite question every morning is, what am I split testing today? Mm-hmm. So everybody says they do it, but I actually do it. And as a result, I've done consulting and I've built my own brands. And I've had four wins, soon to be hopefully five, with you and me. So we make 2016 one of our best years ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about the online space in general, because what the principles of that 60-second spot, I mean, those are pretty darn applicable to the same principles of a website. I mean, you really have just a very finite period of time in which to capture, people's interest. And if you lose them, they hit the X button and you're done. What are some of the things that you think are people, what are people doing really good right now? What are some of the things that you think folks need to avoid insofar as capturing that attention online? Because, I mean, we're battling, for the clicks, and a lot of people are losing that battle.
Well, that's an excellent question. I have these Alexisms that I've booked, and one of them, number 71, is the reason for failure in business today is not ignoring your daily distractions. Not ignoring your daily distractions. That's a double negative. That means if you want to be successful, ignore your distractions. So we can count on people not ignoring. We can count on people succumbing and being susceptible to distractions. And what that does for us, like Facebook and Twitter and even email, what that does for us as marketers is it brings back a 150-year-old formula, which was based that the infomercial marketers used as well, but everyone's heard it, and it causes a yawn because it's nothing new. But things that are new, I don't trust. Things that are old, I do trust. Mm-hmm. Spiritual traditions, I trust those more. So it's 150 years old. It's not news. It's olds, right? It's ADA, A-I-D-A. Attention, interest, desire, action. Now, there's two A's there. And in the old days, we would put about 25% of importance on all four of those letters. Yeah. 25% of the effort went into getting attention. And if you got attention, you would raise the interest in order to, again, 25% to get desire. And if you're 75% of the way there, which is almost 80%, then you need a little dink to take them over the precipice, and bam, you got action or an order, at least looking at the order form. Mm-hmm. Well, that's changed. That has totally changed. If I were to be totally conservative, I would say 85% is on the first A, 5% on the I, 5% on the D, and 5% on the second A. All of the effort should be going on getting attention, because we're in the distraction economy where your default future could be reality if you don't live into your priorities, which I teach our students. So bottom line is, when I go something like this, hey, I get attention. Or, check it out. You get attention.
Mm-hmm.
Or, Steve, is it amazing that you could cause that much pleasure by doing what I'm about to tell you? All right, well, I don't know what I'm about to tell you, but hopefully I got your attention.
So yeah.
Your opening 5 seconds is like a verbal or visual headline, whether it's written word, spoken word, or visual. Bottom line is, you got to get their attention and distract them from what they're already doing. You're not competing with other internet marketers. You're competing with Starbucks, McDonald's, and anything that has mind share, because you are battling for their mind. You're not battling for pixel space.
Yeah. No, and I mean, and it's so, so apropos to where we're at now in the online world, because, I mean, like, literally, there's 1.5 million new websites. At least that's the last number that I saw. But there's 1.5 million new websites that are being built every single day. So when you look at Google, and, you know, back in the day when you would be able to, you know, be found, now you're lucky to be found. And so when you are found, you damn well better have your shit together so that when they get there, you capture their interest, you capture their attention, and you get them to focus in on what it is that you are doing as opposed to whatever some of those distractions are. So when you look at the landscape right now, Alex, I mean, what are some of the things that you see far too many? And we can even use some of your clients, because, I mean, obviously you have a hell of a sample pool to work from. But when you look at what some of your clients are doing, what are some of the things that they are just getting wrong in terms of the online space?
I'm going to go back to Alexism. These took me 25 years. So number 40 is premise must precede purpose in business. Premise must precede purpose. Wow, that sounds like it's really complicated. I just say it because it makes me sound smart. So what that means is the former is really asking, what do I believe? That's premise. What do I believe? The latter, which is purpose, is why do I believe it? What people are getting wrong is they're focusing on, hey, this is why I believe something. And they're leading with that because they see maybe a speech by Simon Sinek, and you always start with why, and they misunderstand it. If I tell you why I believe in something, you may disagree with why I believe in it. Your why may be different than mine. But if I start with my premise, what do I believe? But you and I believe family first. So if you have a football practice, black football, and you're coaching, then you miss a hangout or a webinar to promote something that could make us money because family comes first. That's what you believe. Now, why do you believe that family comes first? Well, I may disagree with that, but I won't disagree with your premise, family first, because that happens to be one of my core values as well. So the mistake that people make is they're imposing their why, the second type of why I believe in something, upon someone else, and that's the fastest and easiest, most economical and reliable way to lose a sale. And if anyone's listening, I hope you're my competitor if you do that, because I'll get more 25K clients. If you just say, this is what I believe, and replace your About Us page with what you believe specifically, right, then that ends up becoming a much more persuasive, influential, credible, and relevant way to win a heart. And once you win the heart, then the mind follows. So I hope that wasn't too esoteric or philosophical, but that little nuance where people completely get it wrong when they see a TED speech that's very, you know, popular, like Simon Sinek's, and they misinterpret it with what why really means, you know? And so what I believe, like starting with your what, like your book, right, versus why I believe it, you'll lose a sale if you start with why I believe something, because they'll disagree with your why. Just focus on what you believe. I believe in world peace. Well, a lot of people believe that. If I told you why I believe it, you may not like me. Right? So that is the biggest mistake people are making. They are imposing their why or their purpose on someone else. Don't impose your purpose. Impose your premise with someone else. It's much more wide-reaching and less argumentative that way.
Well, I'd like to ask a question about that. We don't have much time coming into the second break here. But what about purpose and passion and how that falls into what you're saying about the why and the what, and don't impose why.
Let's do
is
this.
That okay?
Just, yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about purpose and passion, and then, of course, we'll get into more online specifics as well, because we've got one of the best on here today with Alex Mandojian. So we will be back with more Reinvention Radio right after this.
You You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And, boy, it's pretty darn interesting here with Alex Mandushian because there's so much to talk about past, present, and future. But I think your question, Mary, was really well taken. And just can you repeat that for Alex? And it was about passion and purpose and just what was that again?
Okay, so if you have a why you believe something, typically it's because there's a passion or you have a purpose about what your life is about, and then rolling that into your business. So I know it's kind of, like you said, it's a nuance, Alex. Do you have anything to speak to that?
I do. It's a very, very good question and very good point. And it's in the nuances that make all the difference, like little hinges swing open huge doors, not to be too cliche, but that's what it comes down to, right? A seed for a pear tree is different than a seed for an apple tree, but they kind of look alike at the seed level. So the way I would answer your question, if you talk about purpose, well, if you're talking about purpose, that's why you believe something. For me, that's the way I make sense of purpose. You have far fewer people in the world that believe in what you believe and why they believe that, right? So it's an easy way to disenfranchise yourself, to get fewer people to agree with you and fewer people to buy, is to make sure that your purpose is aligned with someone else's. Much more narrow. When you talk about passion, then it's really closer to what I talked about before. Another P word, premise. Passion is what I believe, right? And so Steve Jobs, you know, had passions that aligned with a lot of people. His purpose is different than lots of people. He shares the same passion as Bill Gates, but they fought tooth and nail over their purpose. One was open source, one was closed source. So if I were to coach anyone who came into my office for a deep dive or did some private consulting, whether high bandwidth or low bandwidth individuals just starting out, doesn't matter, then this is a very simple conversation. Focus on passion and aligning with someone else's passion for family, for entrepreneurship, for freedom, for eliminating poverty, for democratization, for whatever.
Okay, that makes perfect sense now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. So focus on the passion, not the purpose. You'll lose them on purpose.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. And Alex, one of the things that I know you do so well that I think a lot of people really get this wrong is you start with, well, fuck, I'm going to use a Stephen Covey thing here, but I mean, you really do start with the end in mind insofar as how you design whatever it is that you do online. So can you kind of talk to that process? Because ultimately, I think a lot of people get this so wrong where they start with the, you know, the pretty picture and this, that, and the other. What do you start with? Why do you start with it? And what should people do? I mean, kind of give some insight around that.
All right. So I said something that may sound that it's being contradictory, but it's not. And I said the first A, attention, spend 85% of your time on that. But you don't start with the attention-grabbing assets of your presentation. You start with the end, which is your offer. If you're going to sell something online or offline, I sell it on stage or I sell it on a virtual stage, let's say through a Hangout or a webinar, start with what the offer is. Don't start with the opening 5 minutes. Start with the offer, because in that offer, you're going to have the DNA of all the seeds that you'll be planting, insinuating, suggesting, and just kind of smuggling throughout your presentation so that the beginning ending up naturally with the end, and it's just a very natural click for people to buy. So when I'm designing a presentation for someone, whether it's 90 minutes, 75 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, even a TED speech, I start with what's the offer, what's the call to action, and then let's take that and plant the seeds of that from the very beginning, so it seems like when we took off, wherever it is on this planet, it's 95% off course, we're going to end up in the natural destination of where point B is. So start with point B, where you want to be. That's why they call it point B, right? And then take what's there, all the elements of your offer, which people typically do last, and then pull those things in where you're just talking about them along the way for your presentation. And that's the simplest way to design it. So start with the offer. Mm-hmm. And start with the enrollment speech first. So if it's going to be the final 15 minutes, start with that first and then come back to the beginning, and it'll be much more fluid and you'll sell a lot better.
Because part of your process is to eliminate those that shouldn't be a part of the conversation as quickly as possible. And I know you, you're one of the best that I have ever seen at being basically just as blunt as possible, where it's just, you know, hey, if this isn't you, get off the line right now. And a lot of people are afraid to do that. How do you, what's sort of the Alex mentality, the Alex philosophy around just getting people to commit to what it is that you're doing, to engage to what it is that you're offering, and basically either, you know, hang up the phone or stay on because you're really listening to the conversation?
Yeah, and before you get that, Alex, I was on a webinar earlier today, and the guy said that after his little, hey, this is who I am kind of dude, but if you are not willing to invest, please get off the line so someone else can get back on the line and be part of our team.
Hmm.
He said it right straight up.
Mm-hmm. What's your philosophy around that?
Well, I would say that he was either trained by me or trained by one of my teachers. My philosophy is focus on disqualification, not pre-qualification. There's a big difference. It sounds like it's the same, but it's different. If you pre-qualify your audience, hey, if you're this, keep listening, well, then you're going to have some people that are there as driftwood, as listeners. As you're selling people who are hopeful and not decisive. In fact, they may be indecisive. Rather than going that approach, get rid of the people immediately who you know don't qualify, which is called disqualification. Look, if you don't believe in paying for a continuing education, this is not for you. If you don't believe that you need to spend at least 30 to 40 minutes a day repurposing your content and sprinkling it on social media, this is not for you. And if you don't have wallet share right now that I can have from you to make a decision today by the time we're done, and if you're not going to consider that, then this is not for you. Leave more room for everyone else. So start by disqualifying and tell people what it's not and who it's not for. And then what they do is they fill in the blanks with their mind and they say, hey, I like this person. And then you don't have to apologize for saying fuck later on, because I just got rid of half of the Bible Belt just now.
That's funny.
Yeah, that is. And so, Rich, you were saying earlier that you had an opportunity to meet Alex like many years ago. Talk a little bit about that story, and what impression did Alex leave on you?
Oh, first, let me try to see here. Let me get the mic. I don't know. You might have to pot it down. I'm going to go from the side. Alex, tell me if you remember what this is from.
That's the most personality I've ever seen
totally,
out of Rich, like, ever.
I love that.
So, Alex, do you remember what that's from?
May or may not.
Is anyone there?
Yeah, right?
No, I was part of, I'm blanking on the acronym right now you had for it, but Peak Potentials. I did the Quantum Leap, and I was in the, your internet business where we built, and that was from the Wolfpack. You were the coolest freaking leader ever from a stage. You rock, dude. I talk about you literally at least once or twice a month.
So basically there was a Wolfpack kind of thing, and Alex come out and
dude,
howl, is that what
guy,
it was?
Yeah, and then he was telling a story about how he gets up, gets motivated, starts dancing around, and he looks across the tower to the other lady who's cleaning, and she recognizes that he's naked, and she recognized that he's naked while he was dancing, getting ready. Do you remember that, Alex, up in Los Angeles?
Yes. No.
Yes. Think,
yeah.
Hello. Did we lose you?
I think we lost.
I think
Alex.
I blew out his ear.
I think you blew out his ear. Yeah. Exactly. We'll have to get Alex back. But that's a pretty funny story. Hopefully.
Great visuals, by the way.
Yeah. I know, right? So, and technically, that's what ends up happening on a consistent basis around my household. Is I walk around in the nude, and the neighbors. That's why I think
they
most
just
of my neighbors. Well, they move. No, like literally, they stop being neighbors. Like this, as soon as they move. Yeah, they're like, no, I'm not staying in
that's
this.
Not true.
In this neighborhood. All right, so we're gonna have to figure out Alex. Alex somehow dropped off the line here. We'll. Hello. Oh, that's cool. I'm doing like a double echo thing.
What?
Do you hear that?
Am I doing it too?
You're not doing it. That's so cool. Like this. Oh, wow. We've been doing this for a long time. I know, Rich. That howl, man. You
got the howl.
You took us.
Should I go check out Wade? See what's going on.
Check out Wade. Wade's on the phone right now. He's just kind of hanging out. He's like, yeah, just talking to his sister.
We've got like a minute anyway, so why don't we call him during the break and bring him back on?
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, he's just dialing back on now as well. But that's pretty funny. So
hung up.
Yeah. So.
You have a big background in internet, like e-commerce.
Oh, e-commerce is where I play. That's my playground.
Yeah, and how about this? So after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about, because I know, Rich, you're really big into the whole movement around live, whether it be Periscope or Blab or, YouTube Live or Facebook Live or any of that fun stuff. And so we can talk about how everything is progressing down the technology road, and we'll get Alex back on here in just a minute. And by the way, Rich, that's the last time you ever get to ask one of our guests a question.
At least how, you mean?
Yeah, at least howl at our guests.
That was very nicely done.
I will say, yeah, that of all
like
the
perfect pitch on that.
Yeah, and I wish I would have had like a little bit of warning.
I was
like, I'm looking at you. I'm like, what
Where
are you
is
doing
he going
by the
with this?
Yeah, I know, just frightening. All right, so we will get Alex back on the line, and if you want more information about Alex Mandushian, that would be marketingonline.com. And if you want to join in on the conversation here, and you have a question about online marketing, about business, about positioning in general, Alex is one of the best of the best. And the number here in the studio is 866-977-2346. And you're going to hit number one on that. And again, I just want to give out a big thank you to those who have been subscribing and rating and reviewing Reinvention Radio on the podcast, either iTunes or Stitcher. So thank you so much for that. And if you have a question about a past show or you have a comment about a past show, you can leave that for us at 844-MR-BOLD-1. So that's 844-MR-BOLD-1. And we will be right back with Alex Mandushian after the break.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. No matter what happens on this show, we stay the course.
We do. Nobody's listening to us, but we're here.
Alex, did I blow you off the line when I howled?
Yeah, your howl blew me off the line, but that's either that's UIBC, Ultimate Internet Boot Camp. The power of the wolf is in the pack, and the power of the pack is in the wolf.
That was it.
That was it. Very well done.
You're the man.
So in hindsight, Rich, was that like a life-changing experience for you? Because I know when
Alex was more than it. You know, nothing against it, but I'd been in e-commerce for it was way below my skill set.
Yeah.
But it ignited something in me because of Alex. Alex was the man. The energy he had, the compassion he had, You're just a real dude.
Was that like hangover?
He didn't PayPal me any money for that comment. Yeah, that was the Wolfpack. That's why I said it. Like we all divided into groups and we howled mm-hmm. to get each other motivated. Like we won or lost by our whole group. Like
okay.
If I came in first, but someone didn't finish something in my group, I was mm-hmm. supposed to go over and help them. And it was cool. He made a 5-day seminar feel like 36 hours.
Yeah, and here's an interesting thing about that. My sense is you were overqualified to take it. We should have eliminated you before you even came in,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Because it wasn't ideal for you, but we did the impossible. From a standing start, nothing. People made money before the end of the event with the system and everything else set up using the multi-user yep. format of WordPress, you know, when it just came out.
Yeah.
So it was an impossible task, which we did, but here's a really good example. Disqualify the people who are under or overqualified so that you find the sweet spot by them pre-qualifying themselves. So I believe that it's our job as a marketer to disqualify. It's the prospect or audience's job to qualify themselves and say, that's for me. And there's where the commitment you need. That's all the commitment that you need. They say, this is right for me.
Sometimes, though, it's the narrative we put around it because I thought it was still worth it because of you. You would have disqualified me, and I would have not listened. I wouldn't have known of you. I wouldn't mm-hmm. tune into your hangout.
That's true.
Any of that stuff. So,
but there's a good example right there. On day 5, you were presented an enrollment speech. That was the first thing that was designed, and all 5 days, and all I don't know how many hours, 16 hours a day, all of that stemmed from the enrollment talk at the very end, which usually generated $500,000 from the room. So that's a really good example of beginning with the end, start with the offer, and then seed everything else going back to the beginning, which is not how people do it, and it's the easier way to do it.
Yeah. Do you remember that offer, Rich? Do you remember if you took advantage of it, or do you remember if you contemplated it?
I didn't, because disqualification, excuse me. You did a good disqualification at that piece to move to the next offer, and I knew at that point I was already there because mm-hmm. you had like the people could get help.
And you just didn't need it. So whatever,
I didn't need what they had at the time.
And basically, to Alex's point, then he did a great job of disqualifying you from moving on to that next level. Yeah. Interesting. All right, so let's do this because, I mean, this last segment just flies by. I want to go into sort of the conversation here then, Rich, and this is in your sweet spot, and Alex and I have been talking about this, and we can talk a little bit about our new project as well. But one of the things that is clearly happening here is this movement to live, right? I mean, that technology didn't exist, I mean, just, you know, a few short years ago, at least in a way that was cost effective. So, Rich, what's your take on live? And, Alex, what are you thinking around sort of Blab and Periscope and some of those things? Actually, Alex, let me start with you. What's your take on this whole movement towards live?
All right, it's super simple. Look at LinkedIn. It's supposed to be, you know, the most powerful publishing platform in the world, but it has almost zero engagement. Why? It doesn't have a live broadcasting platform. All right. Well, look at Blab and look at Periscope. Brand new on the scene. They have a live broadcasting platform, and look what's happening with all the hoopla around it. I mean, meteoric rise, growing very, very quickly. Live is in. And I think that's going to be pre-launch content for people in the future when they have a launch, have live events so people have a reason to show up.
Yeah, yeah. And so, Rich, from your perspective in terms of where the technology is headed, how do you see people taking advantage of this opportunity to broadcast live?
Wow. Well, one is, I believe, something that Alex talks about. I don't know if he says it quite like this, but the media to market message. Basically hitting them where they consume.
Mm-hmm.
So people who like to watch videos, you know, you
sure
obviously go live. You have live here right now if people were tuning in on WS Radio there.
Yeah.
But I just think anyone can repurpose, and it's a good thing to do, and you should be doing it, and I'm not taking away from that. But who wants to watch a DVR of the Super Bowl, really, comparatively? So I just think everything should be going towards live, creating the live content, but then you begin with the end in mind, like you're talking about what Alex does, so you can have your live content then be repurposed correctly. But I just think you have to hit them where they live. If somebody likes live and they like to get their messages via SMS, then you better let them know you're going live via SMS and whatever way that is.
Awesome. Really appreciate the insight on that. And so, you know, Alex, why don't we talk for a second here about Push Button Influence, which is our new project. And the tagline on that is broadcast your brilliance, because, I mean, ultimately, everyone is brilliant in their own way, and they need to broadcast it if they want to reach the masses with their mission and their message. So talk a little bit about Push Button Influence and what attracted you to that whole concept.
Well, the premise, what do I believe? Everyone is brilliant. And on my fan page on Facebook, it says, you're not as good as you think you are, you're better. So I think people sell themselves short of how much brilliance and how much insight that they actually have, and they start comparing to other people, and comparison is the assassin of joy. It doesn't work. And so your brilliance is of no value to anyone unless it's broadcasted. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Nikola Tesla. He's more famous now than when he was alive. Why? Because he didn't broadcast his brilliance like his contemporary, Tesla. Thomas Edison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at Tesla, didn't broadcast. If you look at Edison, did broadcast. If you don't broadcast your brilliance, you have no legacy, you have no influence, and you really won't have a conversation around what you have to sell.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really does sort of level the playing field, if you will, for all of us, because when you look at how old media was, right? I mean, basically you had what was created, when it was created, how it was distributed, and basically who could star in it, et cetera, being controlled by a very small group of white men. You know, I mean, really, that's the reality. And now anyone can be the next Oprah. Anyone can be the next Larry King. Anyone can be the next Howard Stern. Thus, the whole push button influence, broadcast your brilliance premise, which Alex and I are partnering on. And Alex, just kind of speak as we wrap up here to how you believe the playing field is going to kind of level out here as everyone has access really to the same very, very powerful technology.
I think it's democratizing your topic of influence. You don't have to be aristocracy. You don't have to be part of the inner circle to have a great message. I mean, look at Justin Bieber. If you have a platform that can go out to social media and new media platforms, and if your message is powerful enough, then you can have your own broadcasting network, and gone are the days of ABC, NBC, and CBS. Gone to the days of cable. If you have an influential enough about topic, then you can use free social media and new media to get that message out.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely brilliant. All right, so once again, if you are interested, if you're not familiar, and God knows I have no idea why you wouldn't be familiar with Alex Manoogian's work, but if you're not, you can definitely check out everything that he is doing at marketingonline.com. So really, really interesting conversation today. And I got to tell you, you know, when you look at how the world of technology is playing out, you're going to see some very interesting things happen, and some folks that didn't, frankly, you know, have the ability to reach as many people as they can now. It's going to be frightening, and it's going to be very entertaining, but it's also going to be very, very empowering.
Yeah, you got to find your own spot.
Yeah, and so many people are going to do that. Awesome. So really, really great having Alex on here on Reinvention Radio, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olshan, visit reinventionradio.com.